Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, new episode is posted on the site for your listening and binging pleasure. And of course, as always, don't forget to go to the landing page in case you are not all caught up with the previous 102 episodes. Wow, we have hit triple digits. Is it possible to go to 4 digits? Wow. That would be a lot. But yes, there are 102 previously recorded podcasts on the landing page for your enjoyment if you want to catch up. And we will be talking about catch up a little later in the show. See, it all ties in. I choose my words very carefully here. This is not just some random talking. And as I've said many times, the podcast works on many, many levels. And hundreds of years from now, when these recordings are unearthed from some cave, like the Dead Sea Scrolls, people will be saying, wow, what was this guy doing? It was unbelievable. He was working on so many levels. Today, no one gets it at all, but I am hopeful that in the centuries ahead, I will finally be, people will finally catch up with me. So, anyway, 103, that's where we're at right now, 103. Oh, and I shouldn't say 103 because I mentioned that last week. Yeah, zero is a zero and O is an O. O is a letter, zero is a number. So it's not 103 or 104, it's 103. Got to get out of that. It's 103, and it's not 103. It's 103, 125, 147. It's not 100 and. So, enough of that. Speaking of how to refer to things, that's one thing that I did want to talk about today. Names. And what better way to talk about names than to play a little snippet of... do we have the official thing there?
The name game. Shirley. Shirley, Shirley, Bo Burley, Bonanna, Banna, Bo Furley, Fee, Fi, Mo Merley. Shirley.
Yeah, that's Shirley Ellis with the classic name game, and I wanted to talk about the name game because not only recently in the news or did we have a famous name placed on a soon-to-be famous person, the latest heir to the London throne, or the English throne, Prince Louis, the newest son. You could keep that playing. Yeah, there you go. And of William and Charlotte, I believe he's either the third or fourth in line now, because you can't forget that Charles is still in line. He's turning 70 this year, still waiting to be king his whole life, 70 years. But and so there was a story in the paper a few weeks ago that I found interesting. Every year they tabulate some of the newer or the more popular names. And of course, we need to know, we have to know what millennials are naming their kids. Because, I mean, after all, they're driving our society. So, interestingly enough, and not surprisingly, while there were many, think about the way names have changed in the last 40, 50, 60, 100 years. You know, names, you used to hear names like my name, Jim, or John, or Tom, or Paul, or Mary, or Jane, or, you know, just, those were the common names, and everyone used them. And my gosh, you remember when you'd go to school and there would be three Johns, and not bathrooms, I mean three guys named John, you know, seven Marys, four Janines, you name it. And now, I'm not a teacher, I don't have children, so I'm not around kids a lot to know, like, you know, I'm not around children events, like, you know, recitals or sporting events where you would hear kids' names being regularly shouted out or referred to. So I'm not really sure if there are many duplicates, but just by some of the names that you start to hear today, I wonder if there are, A, many traditional names, although there seems to be kind of a moved back toward that because there was such a push away from it. From traditional names and names that were a little more unique or a little more, you know, odd sounding, more pop culturally referenced. You know, there was a time where mostly people were named after religious connections. You know, people in the Bible or in the Catholic faith, you know, saints. But there were a lot of religious connotations, and that's where a lot of names first came, you know, from either the Jewish tradition or a variety of religious connections. A lot of names came there, and then, as I said, we had those common kind of American names everybody had, and then I think it was around the 80s and certainly the 90s when all of a sudden the name started to shift. And you were hearing a lot of names that were seemed to be like very old English names or names that were almost sounded like last names that were used as first names. And a lot of them seemed to have even like an Irish kind of a connotation. You heard a lot of, you know, Bailey's as a first name, and there was a lot of Jordans named after Michael Jordan, I know, in the 90s and things like that. So all of a sudden, there were these names that were out of the norm from the usual Peters and Toms and Marys. And then we found, I think, as names have gone on, that not only did the names change, but if you did have a more recognizable, common, in quotes, name. Everybody wants to differentiate themselves today. Everybody wants to be like they're different and cool. So then you started to see names that were maybe common, but the spelling changed. So suddenly, you know, John had two N's and Mary had two R's and an I or something. And it was just and now I've seen names like, you know, Megan or Megan and, you know, Jordan with a Y-N. A lot of different spellings. And that's become kind of the cool thing. If you're going to have a simple name, then you change the spelling. You know, and that goes back, and that's not relatively, it's more common now, but I mean, my gosh, that goes back many years. I mean, Jimi Hendrix back in the 60s was J-I-M-I. But so I was looking at this list, and what we've got now, which is not surprising in our culturally diverse, or at least striving to be more diverse culture around the world, and especially here in the United States, more millennials, according to this article, are starting to choose names that are not only off the beaten path of the ones I spoke of before, but there's now a gender-neutral trend going on, meaning that there could be some names that are or used to be very common to a specific gender. And so while the name is not all that odd or strange or, as I said, unique, where the difference comes in is applied now to the opposite sex that it has been most aligned with. So, for instance, the number one name right now that is gender neutral that millennials are using, for instance, is Charlie for a girl. It was always Charlie was a boy's name. Chuck, Charles, Charlie, Charlie Brown. Now we have to wonder if Charlie Brown is really a boy. I don't know anymore. You know, you really can't tell. He's kind of bald, except for that little curl in the front of his head. So I'm not sure. What is that why Charlie Brown was always depressed? Is that why he was always saying good grief? Is that why Lucy was always giving him a hard time pulling the ball away from him when he wanted to kick it? Has Charlie Brown been living a lie, or at least a confused identity? I don't think so. Let's not forget Charles Schulz. Charles created Charlie Brown. Probably a connection there. But yeah, so so let's take a look at some of the top baby names as we're getting now. And I said, later in the podcast, we will talk to Emily Armanetti in the pop culture club segment. And she was recently in London, and while she was there, the new royal was born. I believe his name is Louis, and so we can talk about how Louis got his name. But here are some of the more popular names according to a new kind of study here that was done by babycenter.com. And so for girls, the top 10 names are Emma, Olivia, Ava, A-V-A, Sophia. Hear a lot of Sophias. I see and hear a lot of Sophias. Isabella, been hearing a lot of Isabellas, definitely. Mia. Charlotte, which is the name of William and Kate's daughter. Abigail, which is kind of an older name, which is interesting. Emily, just mentioned Emily Armanetti, who'll be on with us, so she's got her name in there. And Harper, which could be one of those gender-neutral names. Obviously, the most famous woman Harper is Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. So who knows? Maybe there's a lot of To Kill a Mockingbird fans out there. On the boy side, number one name, this is very surprising. I don't hang around with a lot of kids, so I don't know, so I'm not hearing this name all that much, but Noah. I do hear the name Noah, but that, I didn't think that would be number one, Noah. And here's what I was talking about, this this Irish thing. Liam. Liam is definitely an Irish name. Now, William. Wow, I don't know. I wonder, once again, is that based on William because of William the Prince and soon to be king someday? Very traditional name. That's Bill. Billy. I grew up with a lot of Bills, a lot of Williams. Mason, number four. Once again, that's a little different one. Mason. This one surprised me. Number five. Thank you very much. James. James making a comeback. Jim, of course, is a very common name, always has been. And then it went out of fashion, I think, like so many of those names I said before, your Johns and your Toms. So James is coming back. Now, I got to tell you, folks, if you name your kid James, I'm talking from personal experience. If you name your kid James, it will be tough to keep that name with him or her. Gender neutral. Because once a kid gets to school, as we all know, and that, I mean, I never had children, so I've always thought about different names, and you know, the reality of life is that, you know, parents, they think about this name, and this is such an important part of the whole kind of having a child process is what the name is going to be and what you're going to name this child. And the irony is that as much care and time as you put into it, some 8-year-old kid is going to wind up naming your child for the rest of his or her life because of nicknames in school. It's inevitable. That's what happens. Parents, I hate to be the pin that pops the balloon, but it's not easy. And even if you keep calling your kid by that name and you tell the teacher when you go to school that you want the child to be called that, then maybe, you know, the teacher does that on a daily basis. If the kids decide to either give them a nickname or just split the name up or just use the accepted nickname, like for James, Jim, that's what happens. And parents really don't have too much say about it. But yeah, I'm surprised to see and happy to see that James is making a comeback. In at number 5. I'll have to give Emily a hard time because I'm in there at number 5 counting them down. Ponderous, man, ponderous. Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars. Benjamin, number 6. Jacob, religious related, as I said before. Wow, here's another one. Talk about one of the bedrocks of a very common name. Michael, still popular. Mike, my gosh. I grew up with tons of Mikes. Mike. Elijah, another biblical reference. And Ethan, which is one of those 90s names again where they started to get very proper names that you found. Now, I just wanted to talk real quickly here. Are you there, Jazzy? Ethel? Jazzy? Minnie Cooper?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So I look on here. I don't see Jasmine on the list.
That's good.
That's good. So in your mind, that's good.
Maybe the era is over for Jasmines. I like my name. But
oh, why? You think, oh, were there a lot? Well, why? Was there an era of a lot of Jasmines?
Yeah.
Why? Why? Because of Aladdin?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? You know a lot of Jasmines?
I have 6 cousins.
No.
Yeah.
6 cousins.
Yeah.
So when you have a family get together and someone says Jasmine, everybody's head is turning.
We just don't even look. Just tap us on the shoulder so we'll know which one is which, but yeah.
Well, that's how it was in my family. There was about 4 or 5 Jims.
My dad's name was James, too, but they call him Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But when they would say, so then we got in my family, to differentiate, there was Jimmy and Jim and little Jimmy, and wow. I was Jim Jim.
That's way too many. Just tap them on the shoulder.
Yeah. But you had a lot of, so Jasmine, so, and you think it was directly tied to the Aladdin movie?
That and Jasmine Guy from A Different World.
Oh,
I was named after Jasmine Guy.
Oh, from A Different World.
Yeah.
In the late 80s, early 90s, the TV show. Wow. I forgot about Jasmine Guy.
Yep.
So it. Now you spell your name very traditional.
Right.
Jasmine.
Right.
Now, do you know any Jazzmines?
I know Jazmin.
M-I-N.
Jazmine, regular.
Right. Oh, with the Z there.
2 Zs.
Two Zs. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else. No.
Isn't that crazy? But that's so funny. So even though the name that in your world is a very common name, but then all of a sudden, as I said before, people are changing up the spellings.
Oh,
just
yes. Jasmyn.
Whoa. Jasmine.
Yes. But still pronounced Jasmine. I'm totally lost on that. But,
and then okay. You go by Jazzy.
Yeah.
Now, did you make that up or was that a nickname?
My family calls me Yazzy.
Oh, Yazzy?
Yeah, to add a little twist to it. Yeah.
Oh, Yazzy. How funny.
But everybody just said Jazzy.
Like when you went to school, what happened?
Minnie Cooper.
So you got Minnie Cooper at school?
I got Minnie Cooper.
So you didn't even get Jazzy at school?
Yeah. Sometimes J, just the letter J.
Or just J.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying. So, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, our parents, they take so much time. You know, oh, what are you going to name them? What are you going to name them? They're going through all this stuff. And then, I mean, I at least, you know, Jazzy is cool. It's a nick of Jasmine or Jazz.
Right.
But so When your parents first heard, like, did you have friends come over and they would call you Minnie Cooper? Did they ever hear?
That really started happening in high school, to be honest. Before that, it was Jazzy. And then high school, I guess the Minnie Cooper was.
Right. Got popular.
Popular. So, yeah. And then they're like, your last name's Cooper. Minnie Cooper.
So did anybody, like, did your parents ever hear?
Yes.
And what did they say
to them? They were like, that's creative. Oh. I like it.
Oh, they liked Minnie Cooper. So they sat there thinking about Jasmine, and then, but they didn't mind Minnie Cooper.
No, they didn't mind Minnie Cooper.
Wow, because that is way off from Jasmine.
Yeah, but it's kind of cute. I like it.
Oh, no, it's very clever.
Yeah.
But I just think, once again, that your parents are when they're going to have a child, they think about names and what are we going to name them and how's it going to go. And as I said many times, it doesn't really matter because some kid in school dictates what your name is going to be.
That's true.
You know, now, from your standpoint, did you ever try to, like, push a nickname or a name to be known as, like, well, I don't really like Jasmine, but I like Jazzy, or I like this, or did you just go with the flow?
I just went with the flow.
See, because my middle name is Joseph, and I always wanted to be JJ, because my, you know, JJ Tirado with you, good morning.
Yeah, that'll be cute.
But nobody would call me that, because I wanted to be called it. Like, you were Minnie Cooper, mm-hmm. You didn't have a say in that.
Yeah, I didn't have a say.
They decided... You're Minnie Cooper. So I think the goal here, sadly, is that if you get a nickname, it's really not even your choice.
Yeah, it's not.
My dad's nickname for most of his life was Chief.
Oh, wow.
Chief. In fact, there were some people that didn't even know my dad's name. If you said, oh, Jim Tirado, because I was named after him. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't know. But he said, what about Chief? Oh, Chief. Oh, of course I know Chief.
Oh, wow.
And he was named Chief by somebody in the neighborhood. When he was growing up, he had five sisters. He was the only boy. And so somebody in the neighborhood called him Chief because he was like the chief of the little tribe of girls.
Oh, that's so nice.
Right. But my point is, he was named Chief to the point where... I talked about him when he got older, and I said, that's where I found out how he got the name. My mom called him Chief. Mm-hmm. All of his brothers and sisters, all his sisters called him Chief. Everybody called him Chief. I could always tell if somebody from work was calling, because he did not use that name at work. Mm-hmm. So if someone called and said it's Jim Tirado there, and it wasn't for me, yeah. I knew it was somebody from work. But the funny thing is, I said, so did you like the name? He goes, I never liked that name.
Get out.
So he had, you know... He had this name that everyone called him, and he didn't like it, but it didn't matter. And he even said in his little group, because when he grew up, and this is, you know, back in the, you know, 40s and stuff, everybody had nicknames. Right. And they really, a lot of times they were cruel. They were based on your physical, like one guy, he said, well, yeah, we had a lot of nicknames, like Creepy.
Creepy.
Creepy? So I said, wait a minute. So you call this guy Creepy? And he goes, yeah. I go, well, why? He goes, because he looked creepy. I'm like, so poor Creepy didn't have a chance to say, hey, guys, could you imagine in today's bullying world?
Yeah.
If you're going to call somebody Creepy?
Yeah.
So it was a whole different time. But that was so funny is that my dad basically said, yeah, you know. And even on, you know, he passed away. And so he was so known as Chief that... In his obituary, I put Chief so people would know, but the cemetery would not allow on his crypt,
right?
You know, the name thing. They would not allow nicknames.
That is so weird.
Yeah,
which you see that all the time.
Yeah, they would not allow anything like with quotes,
right?
And I didn't want to just put James. Without the quote, they would think he was an Indian, you know, a Native American.
Yeah.
Because it was to say James Chief Tirado.
Right.
So I didn't put that, but I if I was allowed to, I certainly would have done that because that is how he was known for most of his life. And I to ever even hear him called Jim was very strange in my ear because I never heard that. As I said, my mom called him Chief. Everybody in the family called him. He was Uncle Chief. He was, I mean, that was just who he was. And like I said, parents sit there and they're sitting and thinking so hard, and it's like, and it's going to be Mini Cooper,
yeah,
or something like that. That you just get a nickname. Yeah, I was Jim in my family, and mostly Jim. And then in high school, like, did you ever get called Coop? Like Coop? Just
I'm really thinking about it.
Chopping Coop?
No
Coop.
No Coop.
That's interesting.
No.
Yeah, because like what we used to do is chop the last names off of our friends. So
I think you would be calling me a chicken, because I was a chicken Coop.
So a lot of people will call me Turs, T-U-R-S. They just took Toronto and chopped it. Hey, Turs.
Some other way.
Hey, Turs. And that's kind of, if you put a D there, it's not too good. Yeah. So. Or Turbo.
Yeah, that's not good either.
Yeah, I know. I hated those. I didn't like those. But anyway, so here's the gender neutral names. I said Charlie is number one, could go either way. Finley, which is in many ways a last name, is now being used, and I guess that could be for a boy or a girl. Skyler, yeah. Justice. I think John Cougar Mellencamp has a child named Justice. Royal, which is interesting. Number six, Lennon, L-E-N-N-O-N. My wife, 25 years ago, said if we had a girl, she wanted to name it Lennon. 25 years ago. That's how far we both like John Lennon, and she wanted to choose Lennon if we had a girl. So she was way ahead of the curve on that one. I like this one, though. Seven, Oakley. It's got to be because of the sunglasses, right? The Oakley sunglasses? Where else would that come from? Here's one that's hilarious. Armani. I'm surprised that that's that popular. And then Azaria, which I've never heard that name all that popular. I mean, I've heard the name, but I haven't heard it to be number nine. And number 10, gender neutral names for millennials right now. Landry, which is, once again, kind of a last name. Used to be a football player named Greg Landry. So I thought it was interesting to see how the names are changing. As I said, many years ago, they were very religious. And here we are seeing, at least Noah is up there. I don't see Moses. Where's Moses? Poor Moses. Oh, Moses. But Noah, number one, Jacob is obviously. You don't see David up there, which was always a popular name. For women, as I said before, girls, Mary. You don't see that. Now, I'm hearing a lot of Grace coming back and Jane coming back, more simpler names. I always thought in the nickname, to prevent the nickname, parents, if you want your kids to not have a nickname, give them a one-syllable name. If you give them a one-syllable name, it's hard to shorten it, and the kids won't probably do that. So that's just a little tip there. So, Charlie for a boy or a girl, Noah for a boy, and Emma for a girl. Those are the top names, according to the Social Security Administration data in 2006. So that is that. So if, I'll be looking, there's a lot of Sophias, yeah, but I'm going to start to keep my ear open for Skylers and Royals and Oakleys and Armanis. Wow. I've seen names like Logan, and that's another one, Riley, Taylor. But, yeah, I'm wondering if we're going to get a new generation of Kanyes and Beyonces. Is that going to happen? Because, like I said, a lot of times it is culturally – names are used, and you hear a lot of Justin Timberlakes and things like that. Speaking of names and mashed up names, and as I said before, I use the term ketchup in terms of ketchup on some of the other podcasts, but I'm going to talk about ketchup right now. Have you seen this? There is something called Mayo Chup. Talk about a bad name. As I'm looking at the list, I don't see Mayo Chup, and that would be very general, gender neutral, but Mayo Chup not on the list. Wow. doing a name theme here on the podcast today. Wow, mayo chup. What is mayo chup? It's exactly what you think it is. It is a combination of mayonnaise and ketchup. And I don't know if you've heard about this, but Kraft Heinz, who makes, obviously, ketchup and mayonnaise, apparently overseas has been selling this combination, which, let's face it, mayo and ketchup is Thousand Island dressing, aside from maybe the little pickle-lily that they put in there. But it's basically Thousand Island dressing. And I don't know if you've seen it, but a lot of places now are using that combination or little variations on it as a dipping sauce for French fries, too. If you go to Europe, especially in Belgium, and I just was in Amsterdam last year, they put mayonnaise on French fries. And I got to tell you, it is delicious. It is delicious. But Belgium is where they, even though it's called a French fry, there's a lot of controversy as to where the French fry really came from. And the Belgians claim the French fry. And so that's why they claim that they put the mayo on it, and that is the only way to eat them. And I have to say, it is good. And there was actually a Belgian French fry shop in Amsterdam called Mannequin Piss. Sorry, that's the name. Which, of course, is based on the famous little statue in Brussels called Mannequin Piss. And it's a little pee-pee boy, a little fountain. You know those little pee-pee boys with the fountain? And he's become the mascot of Brussels, Mannequin Piss. And so they had a French fry place in Amsterdam, right on one of the main drags, called Mannequin Piss. And they had, it gives you this giant cone just filled with fries and variations on the mayo thing and mayo chup, which it wasn't the name of it there that they offered, but it was the same kind of recipe. So anyway, Heinz, of course, in today's world, you know, they've been selling it around the world. They haven't sold it here. Instead of just announcing it, they had to do a contest. They had to get viral. They had to do social media. So they said, hey, we're going to put this on our website. And if 500,000 people respond to our title, you know, to this contest, and 500 people say that they want mayo chup in the United States, then we will start to sell it here. And if not, we won't. Well, of course we know that, of course, this was already prearranged. Of course they were going to win. But, hey, that's the marketing world today. And not surprisingly, almost a million people voted and 55% said, yes, we want the mayo chup. So later this year, when you go to your condiment aisle, there will be mustard, ketchup, and mayo chup. And I have to say, the name, once again, terrible name, but you got to love Thousand Island dressing. You got to love that combination of ketchup and mayo. I'm interested to see what Heinz is going to do, how good it's going to be. Oh, and of course, by the way, in Chicago here, you know, you can't put ketchup on a hot dog. That's sacrilegious. I don't know where that started. When I used to get hot dogs at Hot Dog Day, at good old St. Bartholomew Parish, where I went to grammar school, we had hot dog day every month. One day a month, we'd have hot dogs that they would cook and give us to them for lunch. We'd pay for them. And back then, there was no such thing as a Chicago-style dog. Back at hot dog day in my school, you had hot dogs. They came, they delivered them in those styrofoam kind of bins. They weren't all that good. They were probably Oscar Mayer's, which is fine, but it just wasn't a gourmet dog, you know, as we have today, like Vienna or, you know, hot dogs. It was a good old-fashioned hot dog. And you had three choices on hot dog day: ketchup, mustard, or relish, and any combination thereof. And I used to get ketchup only. I don't know where this anti-ketchup thing started in Chicago. But, of course, in this story, the one of the people from Vienna Hot Dogs said, there is no way that you can, that it is not allowed to put mayo chup on a Vienna hot dog. Okay. Well, just for that, whenever this is, on the market, I'm going to buy some mayo chup. I'm going to buy some Vienna hot dogs. And the first thing I'm going to do is slather my Vienna hot dog with mayo chup, because I can give two about that. I love to put ketchup on my hot dog. I like the other stuff. I like the onions and the relish. But there's nothing wrong with it. And I don't understand why people make such a big deal about it, especially here in Chicago. But as far as I'm concerned, I am looking forward to my first hot dog with mayo chup. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGN Plus. And now we welcome pop culture contributor Emily Arminetti. How you doing, Emily?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. And you are back from across the pond.
I am.
Why? I mean, is it some big secret? Were you the midwife for the royal child? Or
Yes, of course.
Because
yeah.
You were there. Weren't you there right when the baby was born or before it, right around it?
No. You know what? I landed the day that they announced the name of the baby.
Oh, okay. So the baby was already born.
He was born like a few days before that.
Oh, okay. And why did, I mean, if it's not a big, for some reason, you didn't want to tell me in an email. I mean, if it's some big secret that
No, it's not. It's not a secret. No, the time got away from me. No, and also, to be honest, we really didn't have the trip planned for that. So you know I used to live in London. And yeah. I used to go there quite often for work after we moved back to the States because I had to go to Amsterdam a lot. And then I would like always make my way through London to see friends. But in the last few years, my husband and I have tried to make it over there at least once a year. Last year we had a wedding. 2 years ago we decided to go around my husband's birthday. And so, yeah, it just seemed like a good time. And actually, originally we were supposed to be there a week beforehand and we had booked everything, the flights and everything. But then we ended up having to change it because of just various things. So, yeah, it wasn't really a secret, but it was a little bit of a moving target for a while. And so, yeah.
So was there a quick trip. Is there a royal frenzy going on in London right now for the wedding and everything?
I think there was a lot of frenzy happening around the birth of the baby, not so much for the wedding.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that baby is an heir. I mean, that baby someday,
right? Of course, yeah.
Will or could be, depending. But once again, now in the
it's a big deal, though. I mean, there are people, believe it or not. I mean, this sounds ludicrous, but there are people who get all dressed up, you know, in like Union Jack stuff, or they dress like the town crier, right. And they go and they wait and they camp out outside of the hospital wing where the Duchess is, you know, due to have the baby. And it's actually kind of creepy when you think about it. But then when the baby's born, they make this big deal out of it. And on this particular trip, my husband ended up flying out a few days ahead of me because he just happened to end up having a work trip, which was very coincidental. You know, he had to be in London for meetings. And I said to him, like, the day the baby was born, and we were just catching up. It was nighttime there. And I said, oh, so, you know, the baby was born. So he goes, oh, is that what's going on? Because I took a jog past Kensington Palace, and there were just news trucks everywhere.
Right.
And I was like, you've been there all day.
And you didn't
know? Catch on that the baby was born.
That's so funny.
Now I was talking
earlier in the podcast about names and some of the more popular names, and now the millennials, of course, are going with more gender neutral names like Charlie and Finley and Skyler and Justice and Royal and Lennon, like John Lennon and Oakley and Armani and Landry.
I feel like there's some kind of Venn diagram here of maybe like unisex names, but also very unique names. You mentioned a lot of very unique names.
Yeah, what I think was funny.
Very non-traditional.
Oh, very. I mean, yeah. I mean, I would think, my wife and I never had kids, but as I said, 25 years ago, we were going to, if we had a girl, we were going to name her Lennon. And so we were way ahead of the curve on that. But what I think is funny here, too, is what I think is funny is that people may not, younger people won't even know this, and if you, even if you're a sports fan, but number one, number two names of the gender-neutral names for millennials is Charlie and Finley. And the owner of a baseball team, the Oakland A's in 1970, who won three World Series championships in a row, his name was Charlie Finley. And so, and the number one and number two names are Charlie and Finley for gender-neutral names.
Wow.
But here's the one.
That's interesting.
Well, here's something interesting, too. So now, the top names right now, we've talked about Superfan, your son, Superfan, James.
Yeah.
James is number five for boys.
Mm-hmm.
And Olivia is number two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, wait, but so, wait, James, did you say James is number five?
Yeah.
I don't think it was that popular when I named him James.
Yeah, well.
It, James now, do you know there are people that are actually making James a unisex name?
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
so,
in fact.
So, you know the actress Blake Lively, and she's married to Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, right.
A fairly well-known actor.
Yeah.
They have a daughter named James. And I predict that 20 years from now, this trend, like if this James trend naming your girl James continues, I predict that will evolve into a unisex name. Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
I mean,
in fact,
as someone who, you grew up a James, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a very traditional boy's name.
Right. Well, I was surprised to see that.
I think that's going
to
shift.
I was surprised to see that on the list anyway. So you're clearly a trendsetter. Just so you know, James is fifth. Emily is nine.
Oh, okay. Well, Emily was number one for a number of years.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but now it's now you're falling down the top 10 there.
Well, that's funny because my mom always says that when she told people that, because I'm a twin, you know, I'm a twin, right?
Yeah, right.
I have a twin brother.
Yeah.
But my, you know, we were born in the 70s. People didn't usually find out what they were having then.
Right, exactly.
And in fact, they didn't really have ultrasounds. My mom knew she was having twins because they actually x-rayed her. Her doctor said, I really think that you might be having more than one baby.
I think you might be.
She actually has an x-ray.
Wow.
Okay, like, you would never x-ray a pregnant woman.
Well,
like,
that explains a lot now. That explains quite
a
bit.
Right?
You got zapped in the womb.
Right, exactly. And you can see two heads, baby A and baby B.
Wow. Who was born first?
A. My brother was born first.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he is older.
13 minutes older than I am. Yeah, they're by 13 minutes.
13 minutes. So, how fun.
I'm not that I'm, nobody's counting.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 13, not 12, not 10,
right,
not about 10.
Not 14, 13.
Yeah, that's too
so
funny.
So when she told people that if she had, because she named my brother after my father, and I think that was kind of an easy one.
Yeah.
Because my father was named after my grandfather. You know?
Yeah, that's how I am. Yeah, that's my thing.
Yeah. So she told people if she was having a girl, she was naming her Emily, and she said everyone said to her, oh, no, you cannot do that to your
friend. Really?
That is such an old-fashioned name. Yeah, really thought it was very old-fashioned. And I, in fact, when I was a kid, I didn't really go by Emily. They called me Emmy until I was, like, in grade school. At some point, I had just, like, a mean teacher who refused to call me anything but Emily. And then it just, then I just kind of then started becoming more known as Emily. But I really didn't, I felt like I had kind of an old lady name when I was a kid.
Right, yeah.
I preferred Emmy to Emily.
Oh, that's funny.
And it's just so funny to me that that became very trendy, like, you know, in the last handful of years.
Well, now, like, on this list, there's Charlotte and there's Abigail, which are very old, you know, kind of traditional names, too. Now, isn't your daughter's name, what's your daughter's name?
Kramer. We've talked about this. Her name is Kramer. She's like Kramer. She's like, she doesn't really have a name. You don't really know her real name. She's never disclosed her real name.
Cosmo.
Maybe something. Yeah, Cosmo, exactly. Cosmo.
But
she does have a nickname. No, I think we should not.
Okay.
I like to protect her. Well, James is out of the bag. But,
right, okay.
But she does have a nickname. She does have a nickname.
Oh, okay.
So we actually call her, I don't really call her by her given name. We call her Suki.
Oh, really? Suki?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where'd that come from?
Yeah, but that was, That came from James. When our daughter was a baby, he started calling her Suki, and it just caught on.
Well, that's what I said, too, the other side of the coin. Now, you tell me, because, like, even with James, I mean, like you said, now, does anyone call him Jim yet?
No.
Because
I don't think anyone ever will.
Because I don't want to be the pin that pops the balloon. But the fact of the matter is, you can sit in there and talked about these names and contemplated them and gone over all of them. But really, the sad part is there's some little 8-year-old kid out there that's going to wind up naming your kid for the rest of their lives with a nickname.
I hear what you're saying, but I also I think now that I have one child in school, I have to say, I feel like schools are now hyper conscious of what parents, they're like a lot more sensitive to what parents want their child called. Like when
but it doesn't matter in their little group, but in their group of kids.
Well, yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I know, but like, if the teacher or, like, everyone in the school calls the kid by whatever, like, it'll say, like, you know, on the enrollment form, you give their, you know, like, so like, we'll take my daughter, for example. If I could put her given name on the form, but in the spot where it says, what is your child's, like, preferred nickname or what does your child prefer to be called, if I put Suki, they would call her Suki.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they'll do. I don't know. We have a few years to figure that one out.
But she, does she answer to that?
Yes, all the time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Now, what was I was completely out of the loop here. I did not hear the royal name. What's the origin of Louis? Where did they get Louis from?
Well, first of all, they pronounce it Louis.
Oh, Louis, like Louis the 15th. Okay.
Yeah. His name is Prince Louis Arthur Charles of Cambridge. That's his full name. But you know, of course, all the royal watchers and the talking heads are already on to explaining the significance of this. So I guess, you know, Prince Philip, who's Prince William's grandfather,
right,
you know, Queen Elizabeth's husband.
Yeah.
So Prince Philip's grandfather was named Louis.
Oh,
and
okay.
It is also one of Prince William's many middle names, because, you know, the royals cannot
really
tell. Oh,
I know. Like, you know. Well, they don't even have a last name, really. They don't even have a last name. And they go by Windsor.
Right, exactly.
But that's really not their last name.
No, Prince Charles' lineage, their last name technically, I think, is Mountbatten. But, yes, but you're right. They go by Windsor, because it's just a royal thing. It's weird. It's hard to figure out. It's all steeped in all this tradition that goes so far back. There are very few people on the planet who could actually explain how it all works.
So is he Prince? Is he Prince Louis then? Is that what he is now?
Yeah, he's Prince Louis. He's Prince Louis. So that is also one of Prince William's middle names, and it is Prince William's older son's middle name.
Oh,
so
really, George?
The oldest. Yeah. So one of George's middle names, because again, they always have multiple names, is Louis. So, you know, there's definitely some family history behind it.
So Louis, the new one now, and Charlotte are basically going to probably live those awesome Prince Harry lives, because the next, even though they are heirs now, as soon as little George has a son or child, then that child becomes the next heir.
I guess that probably is how it works now.
Because I mean, look at,
I,
you know, Prince
that far ahead.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, Prince, you know, Prince Margaret. Mm-hmm. You know, she was Elizabeth's, and her lineage is not in the thing. So it's only William's lineage. So William, George, and then George's son or daughter will become the next heir. Right now they are, because George is only 4 or 5. But as soon as he gets married and has a child, then Louis and Charlotte are, you know, off the list. I mean, they'll be there, but they'll certainly get.
Well, I mean, unless something were to happen to him, or let's say he abdicated, which is not
right.
Totally, I mean, that it has happened before. It's really the only reason that Queen Elizabeth is queen. So
right.
That could get. But you're right. Yes, that is what will happen.
So now here's a question. Now you named your children are you know almost within the last 10 years you've had children, right? So you've had you named your kids. So I don't know what your plans are, and I'm not trying to get personal, but let's pretend that you decide to have one more kid.
Okay.
What would you name them? What names are you hearing now? Or what names that you didn't get to use and you say, oh, I wish, you know, or you heard it later or it was a toss-up. And are there any names that are really kind of appealing to you now that you're like, you know, if I had a daughter or if I had a son, I would name it this or that? Are there any names? And to the topic here, or would you go gender neutral?
Okay. Well, so both of my kids have, I would say, pretty traditional names. And so I feel like, if I were to have a third kid, like, I don't think I could really get away with naming it, like, Apple or Blue Ivy or something like that, because it just wouldn't really fit. It would just be weird.
Right.
So you kind of have to think about that, I think, when you already have kids. But it's hard to say. It's so hard to say because I will say this one thing. So in both times that I was expecting a baby, a boy name was so much easier to come up with than a girl name. And like in the case of James, that was so simple. I mean, my husband and I kind of sat there and started talking about names. When it came to boys, I wasn't even like writing down a list of names yet. I just kind of went like, what about James? And he went like, oh yeah, I really like that.
Well, because of me. I mean, once again, it was my influence. I know that.
Also my husband's middle name, but that's not the reason we chose it. Obviously, you were the reason we chose it. But I feel like I just have to point that out, otherwise I'll get in trouble.
So that's his middle name. Anyway. I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
But you know what, though? When I put the name James on the table, I wasn't even thinking about it. I actually had forgotten that that was his
middle name. Oh, really? Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah. Isn't that funny?
What's your middle name? What is your middle name?
My middle name is Beth.
Oh, Emily Beth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Emily Beth, yeah. So that was very easy. And I would have to say, like, the second time around, I was also leaning toward very traditional names for a boy because I didn't know in either pregnancy whether I was having a boy or a girl until they arrived.
So you didn't find out, huh?
No, I'm very traditional. I didn't really want to know.
Oh.
I wanted to be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, and so it was a nice surprise. But the boy name, the second time around, so there were names that I really liked, but couldn't really use for, like, I love the name Andrew, but I have a nephew named Andrew who goes by Drew. And so I didn't, you know, it felt like, that's the other thing. You rule out so many names that you like because, I mean, I had kids later in life. So all of my friends had kids already, at least one kid, pretty much, by the time I had my first kid. So you have to strike an, I mean, and maybe this is the wrong way of thinking about it, because actually, a few years after James was born, we had friends who were having their first baby, and she said to me, kind of nonchalantly, it wasn't like a sit-down conversation, but she said, like, oh, well, we were thinking about maybe James for the name. I mean, you know, it's not, like, wouldn't bother you. And I was like, absolutely not. I don't own the name James. And then I didn't realize how many names I crossed off the list, because I felt like people would feel like we were sort of, like, copying that.
Which is so funny, because think about 30 or 40 years ago, no one cared. When you were in your class in school, there were 15 Patricks and 12 right. Marys and 14 Janines, and there was, you know, who cares?
Yes, I know. But I was leaning more towards traditional names again. There were names that my husband, I really liked for boys that he didn't really like. Like, I really liked the name Scott, but for some reason I just could not get that one. and I can't explain it. I just really like that name, you know.
Well, I'm not going to get into it.
I like names that are like short and to the point, kind of crisp, you know.
Well, I always said a one syllable name is good because then it can't get nicked. You know, it's hard to make a nickname out of a one syllable name.
People always find a way though.
Oh, I know, but it's not as easy. You know.
Yeah, I guess.
Now,
yeah.
What's nice, what's nice,
tempted to.
Now, what's nice about yours, you know, your maiden name is Arminetti, and that's the name you go by, but your married name is, and I won't get into that, but what's nice about your married name, which your children, I assume, have,
is that
your name, that name could, that last name could go with anything. So that's the other determination is that you really can't go too crazy, because if it doesn't sound right with the last name, then a lot of things don't even get on the list. Whereas your list would seem to be fairly big, because anything, I think, would go with your married name.
Yes, that's right. I totally agree with that. Now, the funny thing, too, about naming the second time around, the first time, you know, you're having a baby, you know, everything's so new, like, you know, you sat down and spent, like, we spent several nights just talking about
it. And you bought books and the whole thing.
And we bought books, yeah. And then the second time around, I think that I might have looked back at the baby book, the baby naming book that we still had. I kind of flipped through it a little bit, but nothing was really jumping out at me. And then I put together like a short list of names and like sent them to my husband. I think what he said to me was, I was like, we really have to talk about baby names. Like, we're getting too close. And he basically was like, well, why don't you just email me a list and I'll, you know, write you back. I'll take the names off the list that I don't like. And that's what we did.
Oh my God. How clinical.
And he removed, I know, and looking back, it was not the best way to do it. I think the first time around was much better, because you could kind of get to the heart of, like, if there was a name that he didn't like, I could say, like, but I've always really loved that name, and why don't you like it? And if it's like, oh, well, because I knew someone in second grade that had that name, and I didn't like him.
Right.
It's like, no, that's not really a reason to take the name off the list if it's a name I really love. The second time around, we did not really have that, like, back and forth. And so I think because you're a little more jaded about everything, you know?
That's funny.
So, you know, I think it would be, but the other interesting thing about it is that names that we had that were kind of on our short list the first time around, really, I mean, it's interesting how much your thinking changes in just a few years.
Yeah. But
my kids are 4, almost 5 years apart. So that's a decent amount of time. But like the girl name that we picked the first time around, we
didn't go with.
It wasn't even on the list the second time around.
Isn't that funny?
How weird is that?
Oh wow.
Did not even make the short. I know, it's so weird. So,
well, you know what I think is interesting too.
I can't explain it.
What I think is interesting is, you know, the odd thing is, whether it's just coincidental or psychological or just, you know, perception, but, you know, what you name your kid is really not, it shouldn't be taken lightly, because not only is that obviously, you know, what they're referred to for the rest of their lives, but in many ways, depending on the name, we do kind of grow into and reflect that name in many ways. You know, if you give a kid a very unique or a very kind of snobby sounding name, a lot of times they'll carry that. You know?
I don't know. If you name your kid Apple, they'll turn out to be like,
well, I don't
creative
well,
or
no,
awesome.
No, but my point is, if you're named Apple, then you are not called Mary, and I think you walk around with some little, you could have a little bit of an attitude because you're named Apple. But my bigger point is, I think, and I, you know, hey, you know, you're a parent, you decide to have this child, and, you know, naming it is an important thing. But, you know, why shouldn't we be able to pick our own names? Like, I think
I am with you on that.
I think there should be like when you're 10 or 12, and I know this would be a legal nightmare and everything else, but I think that we should. Why, you know, I got to live with the name, not my parent. And just because they, you know, wanted to name me after their grandmother. Well, I never knew that grandmother, so it doesn't have any meaning to me. And and like I said, I always wanted to be, you know, my middle name is Joseph, so I always wanted to be named, you know, go as JJ. And no one would call me JJ.
Oh.
Probably because I wanted it, you know, because nicknames are bestowed on you. You don't get to pick your nickname.
Right.
But my point is, I mean, I have no problem with Jim, and I like James. I like, in fact, when I write professionally and put my name on something, I use James. And even when I'm in a play in the program, I use James. So I use my given name, but most people, no one calls me James. No one ever called me James. Always Jim was my nickname in the family, because we had 15 James or Jims. But my point is, I would love to have maybe because when I grew up, there was a ton of Jims everywhere. It was a very common name. And I would have maybe liked to change it. And so there is a part of me, I don't know if it's, you know, I mean, you could always change your name if you want. I mean, that's nothing. But
you can, but I think you're right. It's not that easy. You have to go through legal loopholes. And I definitely remember, especially in New York, when we had our daughter. So we had James in D.C., but I remember them really making a big deal out of the birth certificate form and saying, like, you need to make sure that you are 100% before you, because once that form leaves your room and we hand it in,
wow,
that's it. You want to change the name, you're going to have to go to court. You're going to have to do
all this stuff. Oh, my God.
You know, and so the nurses there made this really big deal out of the paperwork. But that said, it is a legal process, but people do it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the women change their last names all the time when they get married.
Exactly.
You know? So, I mean, so then the flip side is, well, yeah, it's a process, and there's probably some red tape you have to go through, but it's not like it's totally unheard of. People change their last names all the time.
Yeah, right, exactly. So why can't I just, I mean, and then I wonder if parents, like if you change your name, your first name, is that kind of a knock on your parents too? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't think your parents would be happy about it.
Right, that's what I mean.
Like, I don't think I'd be happy if one of my kids.
Right.
But then again, if they feel really strongly about it, you know, it's like you have to let them be what they're going to be. Now, I think the earlier you do it, probably the better. Because think about it: if you decided to change your name now, think about all the stuff you'd have to
do. Oh, I know. I mean, believe me. Like I said, I'm thinking about it more in a philosophical way, because from a legal standpoint or reality standpoint, once your name, like you were saying, the way we're talking, you have to go to court and everything, and you're known by this and Social Security and everything else, you know, I understand all the legal ramifications. But I just think it's funny that one of the most important identifiers, you know, we go through our whole life trying to identify ourselves in a certain way, whether it's through our clothing and our hairstyle or our lifestyle, whatever it is. We're always trying to make ourselves either unique or just project a certain image and a certain style, whatever you want to call it, to the outside world. And the leading thing of that is your name, and you didn't have any choice in that. You know?
Yes, I see what you're saying, but here's what I think. This is, and I've thought about this a lot over the last handful of years because I've been naming children myself, and also names have gotten a lot more, we'll say, unique. You know,
right.
If you look at the top 10, like most popular
and names, spellings, you know, and spellings of the names.
Well, the spellings, but the irony of it too is that there are names that were probably seemed unique to the parents when they named them, but are now like in the top 10.
Right.
So there's that effect too. But I think, you know, a lot of parents, I feel, were looking for really unique names for their kids because they want their children to be unique. But the reality is your kids are going to be unique no matter what you name them. So that is why I names that I was drawn to were the names that ended up on my list, and not, I was never thinking about, ooh, let me just find something that's really unique. And I have friends who have, like, I have one friend who said, well, her criteria for the names were, like, one, it had to, like, you know, flow with their last name, let's say, and then number two, could not be in the top 100. And it's like, well, what if there is a name you really, really like, but it's, like, number 99?
Right.
And so that, to me, that now that takes a lot of names out of the mix.
Yeah, no kidding.
For what reason, you know? Yeah. So that's the only thing, you know? I think it's just a lot of...
So are you happy? Are you happy with Emily?
I am now, yeah. But like I said, it's funny, because as a kid, I really wasn't.
Yeah.
And then when I was in high school, I mean, the first time I ever really knew another Emily was when I was a senior in high school, and there was a freshman girl named Emily who was on the gymnastics team with me, and so then when anyone would say Emily or M, we would both say,
right,
and then I was the older one, so I was like, I'm number one.
You're number one, okay? You were running away from it, and then you were claiming it, right?
Right, but now I do really love my name, and that's part of the reason why I think I went with traditional names too. Like, I have a pretty traditional name, and I've always really loved it. And in my adult years, so many people have said to me, like, oh, that's such a beautiful name, and I appreciate it so much more now, whereas I did not at all when I was younger.
Yeah,
so, you know, yeah, your ideas might change, too.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we are. It's going to be very interesting to see, to your point, about some of the names that have, you know, we're already seeing, as I said, names like Charlie and, you know, which has always, of course, been a boy's name. And in fact, Elton John's lyricist, Bernie Taupin, named his daughter Charlie about 5-6 years ago, if not more than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's, yeah, in fact, I think she's a teenager now. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how, especially as our society tries to become more diverse and less gender specific, it will be interesting to see if more traditional names assigned to one gender will become general neutral, like you say. Maybe I always thought, I mean, it would have been actually, now that you say that, it actually would have been really cool if I would have had a daughter to name her James. That would have been really cool.
Yeah, you would have been ahead of your time.
Yeah, but it just would have been neat because, you know, I was named after my dad. My dad was named after his father, so it would have been cool to have a girl named James. We would have four Jameses, but it would have been cool because one of them would have been a girl.
So yeah,
that would have been actually neat. So, but oh well. So much for that.
Well, yeah.
And of course, I named my cats after English references, the Thames River.
Oh right.
And then there's and our current cat is named Grimsby. There's a town in London called Grimsby.
Mm-hmm.
And so I named, so that's, yeah, so that's where I always went for that. So who knows? I would have maybe we'd have done that because we do love.
Grimsby is a better cat name than kid name. So
yeah, no, I wouldn't have I wouldn't have named the kid Grimsby. No. Although Thames would have been an interesting name for.
Yeah, Thames could work
for a girl. Of
course, there's a kid out there. I am sure there's a kid out there named Thames.
Look, of course,
there are a gazillion kids now named Brooklyn. So.
Right. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Right. So. Well, very good. Once again, I will say, as I always do, if my namesake is out there, hello, buddy. Nice to talk to you,
aww,
James. We're talking about names. And, yeah, so we've got a new King Louis. And I'm interested to see. What's going to be interesting to see is when your children have a kid. And are you going to like the name that they choose? That's what's going to be interesting.
Well, I'm just hoping to still be alive by the time my kids have kids, because I started late enough, and I don't know. If people continue to have, you know, get married and have kids this late in life, then I'm not sure I really have a chance. So we'll see. Fingers crossed.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll play the name game. Emmy, Emmy, Bobemi, Banana, Nama, Bobemi, Emmy. Take it easy.
Oh, thanks, Tim.
Take care. All right, and that is episode 103 of the name, and the name of this podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, right here at WGNplus.com. New episode is posted every Monday. We thank you for pulling us up or clicking on us, whatever we do, we appreciate it. I am Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This is Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.